Welcome to the Startup Help Desk, your source for answers to questions about building companies, starting companies, and the meaning of life. We have a panel here of experienced entrepreneurs, founders, and investors who have been there, done that, to answer your questions about how to be there and do that. My name is Sean Burns. I've been a founder for 20 years, mentoring and helping invest in hundreds of other companies over the years. And I'm joined by our illustrious panel of experienced investors and founders, Ash and Nick.
Hi, everybody. My name's Ash Rust, and I'm a pre-seed investor based in San Francisco. I mostly invest in B2B companies based in the US, UK, and Canada through a fund I started called Sterling Road. Before investing, I was an entrepreneur myself, and these days I spend most of my time coaching founders at the earliest stage, and I've helped more than 1,500 startups thus far.
Hey, this is Nick Meliones. I am co-founder and CEO of a startup called Navi. We help people learn innovation skills, solve mission-critical problems, and bring new ideas to life. I've supported hundreds of folks and innovators on their startup quests. And as always, I can't wait to get started with today's questions.
And today's questions are all about building sales teams. So before we get started, keep in mind on this podcast, at least, all the questions come from you. Founders and company builders out there listening to the podcast who submit questions either through our website, thestartuphelpdesk.com, or on Twitter X, whatever it's called, The Startup HD. So if you have a question you'd like us to cover in a future episode, send it in. We would love to answer it because, oh my God, let me tell you, Nick and Ash like nothing more than hearing me talk into my microphone when we do this.
Couldn't be more true.
This is a lie.
Well, you're always guaranteed differing perspectives on this podcast. That's for sure.
That's right. So all the questions today are about building sales teams. We get a lot of questions about sales teams. A lot of startups are selling to enterprises or selling to someone and they have sales teams. And for many of those founders, it's their first time hiring, running a sales team. And so not surprised we get a lot of questions. Today we will focus on that. And I'm sure we'll have differing opinions because let me tell you, there is nothing more controversial than sales teams in startup land. So let's jump in. Our first question is, I have never hired a salesperson before. How do I go about hiring our first one? I swear I get a question like this almost every week. Ash, what do you think, man? How do you hire your first salesperson?
Well, I like to think about it from a funnel perspective, same as sales. So my suggestion is start with the broad places to collect applicants. So Craigslist, Indeed, LinkedIn, ZipRecruiter, they're really good at getting lots of applications for you. I like to filter applications with a work project. So if it's going to be your first salesperson, often getting them to produce maybe a PowerPoint sales pitch for your company is a good first step to trim down the list pretty significantly. Then you're going to do your phone interviews and your on-site interviews with people. But within that, I suggest making three offers or hiring three people for each one sales role you want to fill, expecting very high levels of attrition. And the reason why you do that is because most of the time salespeople will not work out and it's incredibly hard to know in advance.
Yeah, that's interesting, Ash. So is that something that you've seen pretty consistent where you'll bring on multiple folks for a related role and then often over the course of 6 months or a year, for instance, you'll then have a more clear idea about who's going to be the one leading it from there?
I would say I beg founders to do this all the time. At most, they ever hire two people for the same role, but the number of times they have to go back and restart the hiring process is incredibly high. So the only way to really solve that problem is to hire three people at once.
Very interesting. Yeah, I've never heard that perspective. I definitely like where your head's at, though. And obviously, so much of that is a result of the ambiguity for the business at this stage. But the other piece of it too is
that's a translation for everyone else listening that Nick does not believe in this idea.
I'll be explicit. I think that's the worst advice I've ever heard. I mean, if you ask a startup person, a startup CEO to hire three salespeople, they're going to waste a lot of time hiring three people. Then they're going to have no idea if sales is not working, why it's not working, or if it is working, why it is working. And they'll waste all this time onboarding these people to have no signal. At least if you hire one person, you can usually tease apart why they didn't work or who you need to hire next. You hire three people, it'll just be chaos. Have you literally ever seen that work, Ash?
Yeah. So very, very often, if you hire three or four people as SDRs, you're going to be down to one or two of them within a couple of weeks in almost all cases. And those people who made it are going to be way better So yeah, that does work. But yes, it's very rare for me to convince founders to do it. And people, when they go halfway, still solve some of the problem by doing it. But I recognize that you guys don't like it.
No, I actually think that it would be an adverse. I think it would actually hurt the company more than it would help them. Even in the SDR world, I agree, SDR turnover is high. I don't agree that it's as high as you're saying. I would actually say a lot of those things mean your interview process is just not very good. I mean, yes.
So we're going to assume that founder interview processes are going to get good enough in this time that's going to solve your sales problem?
Probably not. But I think that at some point you have to be able to, the first sales hire, later on, I think that actually, generally speaking, I agree with Ash that later on, as you're building your sales team, you want to hire people in bunches just because it reduces onboarding costs and a lot of other things. But for that very first hire,
so now we agree with me, but now it's the timing that's wrong. You can't be going back and editing the Ten Commandments.
The question was around the first hire.
Right. Apparently my advice is terrible for the first hire, but perfect for later. That hurts. Hurts. That's all.
Okay. Nick, do you have any other thoughts on this before we move on? I don't think we're going to agree on this issue. I think the founders will have to make up their own mind.
That's great. Well, I'll say this. I think there's a key component here, which is that often you want to make sure you can onboard someone into a situation where they are prepared to succeed. And so we got to do a little housekeeping to make sure we're at that spot. When it comes time to seek and then bring on this first sales hire, there's likely a couple of key ingredients for your business that are essential for you to be able to articulate in a clear way. For instance, the problem that your startup solves, your typical customer profile, how your product is bringing value to this customer profile, and then the decisions, i.e. why people end up using your product. As a founder, you have to be able to articulate that to the prospective sales hire. Ideally, that should make sure that they can be onboarded in a way where they can be able to be ready to succeed, because this first hire is so critical to establishing that organizational culture around sales.
I'm curious.
Okay, so I'm asking you guys then, how many times has the first sales hire worked out? Do you guys see that often?
Define worked out, meaning you have to fire them or they...
No,
they,
not worked they don't out. That's you have to fire them. That's not working out, Sean. So how many times, let's say, have you seen someone's very first sales hire work out to the extent that, let's say, they hit their first year goals and that person gets promoted to maybe leading the team or running a small group of other salespeople?
Oh, I don't think that's working out. I think working out is, do they sell enough in their first year to mean that you have a sales motion that you can hire more people into? And that, I would say 75% of the time, as long as you have a good sell hiring process, that person will be able to sell.
The very first person you see 75% of the times in the companies that you've founded or invested in, that's what happens.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like we're in a spot where we can say hire 1 to 3 people during that first hire and we can stick the landing in a great way here.
Yeah. And to be clear, I think one of the things is in your first hire, it's very hard to set a goal, right? You're not setting clear targets because you don't even know what that founder can sell. Can the first AE even sell it? So the question is, can that AE sell enough to be able to figure out what the sales process will be and then hire more people against it and stuff? And yeah, I think if you hire well, that you can figure it out. I mean, it doesn't work out a bunch of the time. I don't know if it's enough to warrant hiring lots of people at the same time, but I guess experience is different.
All right, well, I guess I'm not answering any more sales questions. Maybe I can ask a question instead. What is a sales commission plan and how do I create one? What is a sales commission plan and how do I create one?
Nice. Sean, I'll hop in on the first part of this, i.e. the what is portion of the sales commission plan, and then I'll kick it to you for the second part. Sales commission plans are a fairly standard practice for paying salespeople. Short way to look at it is that a sales commission plan describes the income that a salesperson makes based off of performance. The good thing about plans like this are that they do a nice job of tying business outcomes with income outcomes for the salesperson. This often means that a salesperson may have a base salary plus the sales commission plan. And in doing so, their performance in driving sales would be something that can increase the amount of pay they take home over the course of the year.
You make it sound so simple.
I wish it were as simple as just that.
I mean, how do you create one? I think one of the challenges, if you've never done it before, is that like your sales commission plan is in some way the most distilled form of your business plan, because it provides incentives to your salespeople for doing certain things. So my classic example is that if your commission, let's say you pay 10% commission on signed contracts, your salespeople are going to go out and lots of signed contracts. Will those signed contracts be people who are likely to be happy customers and renew? I don't know. Maybe not. That's not the incentive. So maybe if your sales commission plan is some percentage of first year sales and then some percentage of the renewal, then they're motivated to go find people that will renew, or maybe they're not. It's interesting how I find that the best way to think about sales commission plans in the early days is quarterly. Typically, you start out with, like Nick said, a straight percentage of sales. It's the easiest thing to do. And then you see how you're doing. You want to make sure your salespeople are motivated. You don't want to have unrealistic goals, but you also need to adjust those incentives to make sure your business model is coming together. And it ends up being a somewhat of an iterative process. I do think the only way you make a big mistake is if you are creating your first sales plan and you make it an annual commission plan, meaning that you have to wait till next year to kind of fix it, or you kind of have to fix it mid-year and kind of say, listen, I know this is an annual plan. Ha, ha, ha. Sorry, I didn't mean that. We're changing it. Those sorts of things end up reducing the confidence your sales team has in you, or they reduce your ability to react to what you're learning. So you think about quarterly sales commission, or at least revisiting it every quarter and learning as you go to make sure incentives are lined up. And that first sales hire, if you're doing it for that first sales hire, I mean, you don't know how much they're going to sell. So make sure that they can get paid, because the worst thing you want to do is have a good salesperson in that position who just doesn't get paid enough because your targets were too high and they leave for another opportunity where it's easier to make money. The problem wasn't them. The problem wasn't you. The problem was the sales commission plan. So never let the sales commission plan be the reason that you trip up in those early days.
Sean, is it easy to adjust a sales commission plan as you go? Because it seems that you adjusting it where it's more beneficial for the salespeople, perhaps a lot easier than the alternative.
I mean, you can do it. It's not a good idea. That's why I used to use quarterly plans up until you get to the point where you have a more predictable sales motion and you can forecast revenue into the future. And if you have a quarterly plan, you know, your quarterly plan could simply be, this is what we expect, you know, your targets to be, this is your percentage commission you're going to get. If you have accelerators, meaning if somebody outperforms, they get a higher percentage of their deals or they get some sort of bonus. Those sorts of things, that's usually the best you can do. You don't want to have anything shorter than that because you want to at least have time for it to filter out, but you certainly don't want to have annual plans. And so quarterly gives you a chance to update it without having to go pull the rug out from under them and say, whoops, sorry, we're changing the sales plan mid-flight. I mean, you can if you have to, but you just generally want to avoid that at all costs.
Yeah, makes sense.
Do you ever reduce someone's compensation with these plans? Like people just perform too well and they're making too much money?
Personally, I never had a ceiling or a cap on what people could make. That was my personal philosophy, that if a salesperson's killing it and we're making lots of money, that's great. They should get the benefit of that. There are many companies where that's not true and there are caps. Or more common in my experience, I've run sales teams for about a decade over my career roughly, is that the salesperson thinks they made more money than you think they made. And that usually results from very poorly written sales commission agreements. And so I recommend if you're going to have a sales commission plan, you're really explicit. Like mine used to be a few pages long, including lots of examples of if you sell X and your percentage was Y and this happened and that happened, this is how much you get paid. I cannot express how important it is to be thorough and clear in these plans so that there is no confusion. Because if you end up at the end of the quarter, the month, the year, and the salesperson thinks they deserve more than you think they deserve, that fight benefits no one. It ends up being bloody and difficult and leaves a lot of bad taste in people's mouths on both sides.
Yeah, makes sense.
Okay, lots of sales, lots of stuff. Man, we are covering a lot of ground. And I will say that at least we can agree that we're giving people lots of perspectives on sales. I don't know.
Man, there's no doubt about that.
I'm not willing to offer any peace terms.
That's right. We're going to have to just make it through this episode.
Oh, man. Oh, God. Okay, Nick, do we have any other questions on the queue around building sales teams?
Yes, please. Let's ask some more questions.
All right, let's do this. This is the third question we got from a founder. This founder asked, how do I know if my first salesperson is doing a good job?
Oof, this is a good question. And I think that it's very, especially if you haven't been a salesperson or managed sales teams, this is probably one of the hardest questions because salespeople are people. They're very good at looking busy, and it can be very hard to tell if what they're doing is good sales or just noise. So I'll answer this question by walking you through how I would onboard this first salesperson. And then you can check to see if your experience matches it. And that can be maybe the best way. The first is, the minute they join, they're shadowing you in all your sales calls. Every sales call you have, their first week, you should be on as many as possible. They can hear you giving the pitch. They can hear you doing follow-ups. They can hear you doing check-ins with existing customers, as many calls as possible. I generally think a good salesperson should be able to master your pitch in their first week, maybe two, depends on how complicated it is. But honestly, their job is to get really good at giving the pitch very quickly. They should also be hitting the ground running. You want your first salesperson generating their own pipeline. So it usually doesn't take more than the first few weeks to know if they're doing that their first month. And then after their first month, they should be able to take the lead on those deal calls. They should be able to take the, even if you're still there, they should be able to give the pitch, move the sales meetings along, run the sales meetings. And depending on your sales cycle length, if your sales cycle is like 30 days, 45 days, they should be able to close their first deal, maybe in their first quarter. If it's longer than that, it's very unlikely. Like my last company, our sales cycle was more like 60 to 90 days. And so they would never close their first deal in their first quarter. But you can look for that pipeline generation. Can they master the pitch? Can they run the sales meetings? See if they're getting there. And if they are, it's your judgment call. Are they going to close deals? And after that, are they closing deals is all that matters. But Ash, you and I agree on nothing when coming to sales. What is your perspective?
So I do think about this a little bit differently. I see a lot of problems with first salespeople and early salespeople who, as you say, look busy and maybe take advantage of this sort of 90 days to close timeline and perhaps spend way too much time on a small number of marquee leads. So I really like to see the first salesperson booking a lot of calls. Even if they're perhaps a little bit more senior, I think they should be leveraging their network, bringing in 10 new leads a week, demonstrating that they're willing to do the lunch pail work of sales at the top of the funnel. I don't like it when they focus on brand names that are perhaps going to bring a lot of reputational credit to the company, but aren't necessarily going to close in the near term. And I also prefer to see them working off and modifying the existing sales playbook, the stuff that has already worked to close sales, versus going off in an entirely different direction, which is very hard to assess. So I think the metric I like to look at is just how many calls have been booked by this person. And obviously then sales is an extension of that, perhaps a little bit further along. I do like to see it on a shorter timeline than what Sean is suggesting. So I would probably bring a new salesperson down to a mid-market lead, even if you're in the enterprise area, to try and see if they can close quicker. And I would want them to do a good job of the existing sales tactics before they bring in their new innovations.
That last point, I agree 1,000%. So there, look at that. We found some common ground. Hey,
don't
it
even
can happen.
Start. No, now there's like these fraudulent olive branches.
We're just
this
building
is an election
good
year. I won't
forget. Oh man, I have one closing thought on sales. I don't know if you guys agree with it. One thing I have noticed that I find interesting among founders that have an engineering background or technical background is that generally they're resistant to using recruiters because they know that the best technical people rarely get hired through recruiters. But sales is, in my experience, the opposite, where the best salespeople actually do prefer to work through recruiters. And it takes a little while to convince the engineering CEOs that they should use recruiters to hire salespeople. Do you find that?
For senior folks, yes, but not for junior, right?
I mean, it define junior.
I'd say anybody that is not running a team would be more on the more junior side, and you would not go to a recruiter for them. You'd probably go through a recruitment tool of some kind, like a Craigslist or an Indeed. But certainly agree that recruiters oh, if you're looking for someone who's going to be earning a six-figure salary as a salesperson, I agree, recruiters are a good source.
That's true. So I was thinking, that's true. My experience is more in enterprise sales. And so in enterprise sales, they're targeting quite large deals. You're looking at quotas in the million, at about around $1 million a year. And these are people who aren't starting out in their sales career. They have 5 to 10 years of experience in sales at least. But that's fair enough.
Yeah, that's interesting. Cool. I'll say that my experience has typically been utilizing platforms and tools to source folks as well as network versus recruiters on that side of the business as well.
So yes, you agree with me on my top of funnel source suggestions.
100%.
No need to put a footnote on that.
That's right. I'm all in on that for sure.
Oh man. Well, we've run out of time. We've talked a lot about sales. Hopefully these comments and perspectives have given you some stuff to think about out there. Ash and Nick, as always, thank you for agreeing with me.
Thank you both. Great time.
Yeah, sure.
If you have a question, we would love to answer it for a future episode, be it about sales or something else. You can find us online, thestartuphelpdesk.com, or on Twitter, X, whatever they call it, at thestartuphd. We would love to answer your question in a future episode. But for now, that's all we have to say about hiring salespeople and building sales teams. So the Startup Help Desk is closed. Good luck in building your business.